dead.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of Craft Beer is Dead. I am one of your hosts, Bree the Pint-Sized Traveler, accompanied by...
I'm Chris Face.
Chris Face, Sirson. Yeah.
Sorry, it's not better.
So we are coming at you with a new segment. We got lots of awesome stories lined up for you guys. Chris brought in a pretty dope-ass beer he's pretty excited to share, so we'll just get right to that, I think.
Let's do that. Have you ever had this one?
No.
Awesome.
How do you say that?
So this'll, for those of you out there, this will be part of the series of, like, Bree's probably too young to have tried much of these. This is like one of the OGs, man.
This is why I need Chris too, because it's like you don't have any credibility until you've had like 90%
like Old Rasputin
of this. Yeah,
and today's like, which is Weinstephaner's Fest beer, because it's Fest beer season. I'm fucking geeking out. It's one of my favorite times of year because I'm basic and I love pumpkin, but I'm also old school and I love Fest beers.
Combine them together,
and you have something kind of gross, honestly. There we go.
That was a good one.
Weinstephaner, if you don't know.
Weinstephaner.
Weinstephaner. It's spelled super weird, but Germans don't pronounce a W.
Yeah, but I still never would have figured that out. No way.
Yeah, so Weinstephaner is kind of globally known as the first commercial brewery to ever kind of like, I guess, start brewing commercially. Man, I could have done that a lot better. But yeah, this is their Fest beer. I think they started in like 1040.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's been a bit. So if you're out there, oh yeah, there you go. Since 1040. So
oh,
if you're,
damn,
yeah, man.
What the fuck?
Yeah, exactly. Welcome to a Wayback Machine.
That's wild.
Which it gets me really excited because like I can't wait to go to Oktoberfest in 2040 because it's like a millennium of fucking brewing, because that's gonna be dope. And none
wow.
of you take my idea because it's gonna be too busy and I want to find a cool table. So,
damn, I don't think I've ever seen a date that low.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't
anything.
Born on that date, so I think we're okay.
Just you.
Yeah. But yeah, this is their seasonal, their fast beer. It's kind of more like one of the classic examples of a style that's been kind of up and coming over the last few decades. It's not necessarily a centuries old style. I like these ones because they kind of show how the German markets responded to how America basically just took the Märzen and called it Oktoberfest. Looking at you, Sam Adams. Thanks a lot.
Oh, man. Yeah. Wow.
Right? Fest beers
Damn.
Are fucking dope.
That's
and they're like almost
so
6%.
Light and yeah. so crispy. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's like a fall crispy boy. They're
wow.
fucking great. And I can't wait.
Where did you get this? Is this just like any ABC?
This one,
or?
I got this one at Total Wine. You'll find them typically at like Total Wines, things like that, ABCs. If your bottle shop is super dope, they'll actually bring in a lot of the German ones. Hofbräu, sorry, Weinstephaner, is my favorite. So go find that one. But yeah, if you're looking for any Weinstephaner stuff, like throughout the year, they're mostly known for like their Hefeweizen. It's like the tried and true kind of commercial example of a Hefeweizen.
I feel like I need to try it just too. I'm pretty over Hefeweizens at this point, but I feel like I should try that.
And it's like, you know, from a production side too, a lot of breweries will kind of go out of their way to use like the Weinstephan Hefeweizen yeast specifically for it. It's super great. There's that one. There's the Helles, which is a pretty popular one. They do a pretty cool line of like non-alc beers. And then if you ever want to try some of their more kind of higher ABV stuff, they've got Vitus, however you want to pronounce that. And then the Corbinian too, which is like kind of more of like a Weizenbock, Doppelbock kind of thing.
Damn.
Yep. So they do a lot of old school shit, but they've been doing it for a while, so they've pretty much figured it out. So go put some in your face.
Well, thank you for enriching my life.
You're very welcome. Let's start with some
really
new shit.
Tasty.
You want to start off? What do you got?
Yeah, I'll go with this. So I am going to put, like, you know, we'll put a poll out there and stuff. Like, we know we have a lot of breweries who listen to the podcast, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious, like, if this statistic has, like, have people actually noticed this in their own tap rooms? But the CGA claims that 15% of consumers who were visiting on-premises establishments are no longer doing so because of the COVID variant.
I could see that.
Yeah, I've noticed a lot more people, you know, even our friends and, you know, young, healthy people going out a lot less. And it's not even for protecting, like, older relatives or anything like that. It's more like they're like, no, I just really don't want to get fucking sick.
There's that. And I think that's like a culmination of things, too. I mean, before COVID, obviously no one ever saw something like this coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're like, we're creatures of habit. So if you've just spent the last year and a half staying away from places, not being around places, you know, you've built more, you've built different habits as far as how you procure your alcohol, as far as how you make food, as far as your daily operations goes. Or like, I know a lot of people too who get like a lot of anxiety when it comes to going out into large public places now because they just haven't been around it in quite some time.
I know.
So, I mean, I get that. But at the same time too, 15% less is still better than none.
Full shutdown. Yeah. Exactly. So, it's like pretty high, but thankfully it's not a full shutdown again. Exactly. Yeah.
Which I'm not surprised with that. I mean, hopefully that's not affecting anyone specifically out there, but it's something you can kind of roll with a little bit.
And that's just the average. So it's like obviously state by state, county by county, you know, it's probably, I like laugh, but I feel like the breweries that are in a lot of those like humdinger, near, like they're fine.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody there is.
No, apparently like COVID has never actually touched a rural area. Like they just go, what? And then they just keep doing whatever the fuck they were doing to stare at you like you're an idiot if you're wearing a mask. But yeah.
That's that. So just interested, you know, we'll put a poll out there if you guys have like obviously noticed like that much of a difference. But
so on that same vein, I found a very interesting COVID related news article, right? So the Australian state limits residents of COVID-19 lockdown apartments to only 6 beers a day.
Shut the fuck up right now. And I like thought Australia was like together and like kind of cool up until all this bullshit the last couple months. What the fuck?
So this is according to the nationalreview.com. Residents in apartment buildings that have been locked down by Australia's New South Wales State Health Department over COVID-19 concerns say they've had their deliveries searched and have had packages containing alcohol confiscated if the amount exceeds the department's prescribed alcohol limit. In apartments where they're locked down, it allows residents to receive a ration of 6 beers or pre-mixed drinks or one bottle of wine or 1 375 ml of spirits, according to news.com.australia.
And what is that for? How long a period of time again? For
it doesn't
the
say,
day? For,
it's no, per day.
Per day. Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know. No. So, all right, here. They have no fucking right to do that whatsoever, but like, ma'am, sir, if you're having a whole bottle of wine every single day, 7 days a week, like, you know.
you're living like a Kathy cartoon.
Might need some. Yeah. But that's so fucking outrageous.
So, it's funny. I mean, I kind of understand. And I'll try to play Devil's Acrobat or whatever.
Yeah,
Abogarba. I'll play that only because, like, I do remember, you know, at certain points of COVID restrictions being lifted and then taken back and then being lifted and then taken back. Alcohol's fun, but you also got, you get a little weird on it. So, like, whereas stone cold sober so-and-so would be like, oh, yeah, taking a mask, washing my hands, blah, blah, blah. Seven drink so-and-so is going to be, like, hugging on the person, I fucking love, like, spitting all over their face. So, I kind of get it.
So, if you had seven Miller Lights, would you be kissing on someone and all in their face?
First of all,
like you wouldn't. You wouldn't.
I mean, like at this point, you just circumnavigate it by just buying a bunch of fucking tall boys at Double Hazy's.
But seriously.
Yeah, I get weird.
But I still think that's just genuinely going against. That's your right to be an asshole. It's your right to drink too much. It's your right to be fucking stupid, but
it's Australia.
But then it's like, you know, obviously then if you go and that affects another person, then you're in the wrong. But like if you're in your home and you want to get pissed drunk to get through having armed guards walking around and you being,
I don't think they're necessarily
fully
armed.
Locked down. I mean, it's Australia, they're probably not armed. Let's
yeah, they
honest.
Probably have like a giant knife
still.
Come on, I had to take that at some point. My favorite part of this article, though, you ready? Is any alcohol outside the limit is being confiscated until lockdown rules are lifted. Doesn't really say when that will be.
Are they making bins for these people confiscated or taking, like, what are they, going to give it back?
No, they're probably getting pissed, too, and they'd be like, yeah, this looks like seven. No, residents may ask a clinician if they want more than the prescribed limits. So you, as an Australian, go to your doctor and be like, look, man, I need a drink. I need to get my drink on, and I need more than six beers to do it. So? I'm just going to need one of those little prescriptions there.
Is marijuana is illegal in Australia, right?
I don't know, man.
Because, like, why do they hate their people so much?
Yo, if you're from Australia, hit us up. Let us know what's going on with all that, especially South Wales. You know. Well, and then another thing, too, I was about to make a joke and be like, oh, yeah, we'll send you some shit. But they're even going through people's boxes. It's not even just grocery deliveries. They're, like, literally going through care packages.
And that's, like, so what if you aren't even drinking or anything like that? Now you're just, all your rights are being, your privacy, your everything, like.
Yeah, you're just sober staring at the reality of your life.
Fucked. Yes.
Which is also fucked.
So scary.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was a weird COVID.
Wow.
Thing, so.
Man, no, not a fan.
Mm-mm.
Not a fan, Australian government. Did I ever tell you? Oh, I definitely have told you. I haven't maybe told the listeners. Quick little funny story. So we have a neighbor. They just moved in literally at the same time as us. Cute couple. And the husband is, you know, retired Australian military, accent and everything, cute as a button. And Doug, upon meeting him for the first time, just being Doug and just cracking jokes and stuff, was like, oh, Australian Army, that's cool. Your uniforms look like Dippin' Dots. And the guy, like, didn't fucking laugh. He didn't.
What does it mean that the uniforms look like Dippin' Dots?
They do. It's like it's a known joke. How ridiculous. Look up. The Australian Army or the Australian military evidently have ridiculous uniforms. I don't even think I've ever seen it. It's just I've heard it a bunch of times thrown around as a joke. And all he right. said that. And then the guy was like,
I'm looking it up right now. Yeah, actually, it kind of does. Like, their
really?
Pattern of camo
is it colorful, too, or is it just weird?
It's...
Can you flip it around for me?
Yeah, it's, like, so, that's their camo.
Oh.
It's just
that's
weird
looks
camo.
Very old
yeah.
school, yeah.
I will say, one of my favorite things about the Australian military, since we're going down a rabbit hole here, was a huge fan of watching, like, World War II in color, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Netflix documentary. Yeah. And they were going through and they were talking about all the different battles and how certain, like, certain grounds were made, like, decision makers of the entire thing, right? So Australia was getting cornered to the point where the Japanese were coming down. They're like, fuck, 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 fuck. So it's funny because, like, with all the color and all that stuff, you can start identifying, all right, those are British troops, those are German troops,
yeah.
those are American troops. And then you did not need color at all to identify the Australian troops because they're literally wearing like a Crocodile Dundee hat, like short sleeve pinup, like button up shirts, and like shorts up to their mid thigh and boots. Like they're literally just going to go like try to find a crocodile because it's
oh
a
beaut. My God. Yeah. And it's like, it's funny because like they are badasses in themselves because they have to live in this environment that is so harsh and every animal wants to fucking kill you. But then it's just so funny because they're not taken serious on the world scale as far as like militaries go.
Yeah, even though
like,
they could probably fucking kill you.
And yeah. But yeah, but like, you know, like it's just, I don't know.
That's, oh, man.
That's pretty funny.
So thank you to the Australian military for all that you do. Unless you're against us, in which case we'll find you.
We'll find you.
Probably.
And give your people alcohol. Jesus Christ.
Just let them have a fucking beer, man.
That's fucking stupid.
All right. Well, that's my COVID story. What do you got?
So Anheuser-Busch InBev has filed a pair of lawsuits this week, including one accusing the company's Texas-based energy supplier of price gouging during Winter Storm Uri in February. Symmetry Energy Solutions, which supplies natural gas to AB's brewery and glass manufacturing plant in Houston. Did not know they had a glass manufacturing plant. Build the world's largest beer manufacturer, 4.85 million for its energy use in February 2021.
Awesome.
Due to Texas's spot energy market.
So you're telling me that privatizing a basic necessity for both residents and businesses is a bad idea?
You know what?
You're telling me. That not putting restrictions on gouging certain things to where literally during that storm, people were being charged $13,000 to just turn their fucking AC on or their heater on? You're telling me that was a bad idea?
I might be.
You're telling me that not having some sort of governmental policy to cap some sort of capitalistic bullshit is a bad idea?
You guys, that was fully unscripted and that was fucking funny.
Yeah, rule of threes. I'm not going to do it anymore. But
crushed it.
No, but that seriously, like, how good. What the fuck do you expect? Like, everyone and their mom is getting bent over by this thing because they literally are like, well, it cost us this much to make it. So, like, it's not like you guys have a second choice. So, fuck you. Here's your bill.
And isn't it funny that we are just supposed to, like, only feel bad for InBev right now and not the people who just got charged out the ass? It's like, oh, woe is me. Let's worry about them and not millions of people.
Not like people who literally just got affected by one of the worst economic years in the entire history of our nation, only to be basically overcharged by a company because they can.
Because they can.
Yeah. So
so if that doesn't get you a little pewed.
Yeah, that's insane to me. I mean, I can't, like, they'll probably do fine. They'll probably settle. And
oh, they definitely will. I bet you, I don't even know. I don't know. Want to take bets on how this fucking
Well, they'll probably do far better than you in Texas if you're listening to this, because, like, they'll just keep tacking you with a bill. So, but that's just me being on my little soapbox. So that'll be fun. Speaking of government, have you heard this whole, okay, so you've heard of Flying Dog, right?
Yes.
Flying Dog Brewing. They were made fun, like, mostly popular by, like, the Gonzo Porter. They're kind of closely tied with, like, Hunter S. Thompson because they use the same artist who used to collaborate with them. Hmm. But over the last, I'd say, 10 to 15 years, they've been through a slew of different lawsuits. And I will say, I appreciate their mentality on it because they're constantly just trying to buck the norm a little bit. So their most recent one that just popped up is they are suing the state of North Carolina for not approving one of their label submissions.
What's the label?
So it's a frozen season winter ale, and it's like, it's basically a picture of, it's a naked guy who's got like frostbite from the shoulders up and he's standing over a fire. It's very,
is
very,
he totally naked?
Yeah. I mean, it's a cartoon and it's not like, so
is it their penis?
There's only one thing where I'm like, like, it's so weirdly done. Here, I'll pull it up for you real quick. It's so weirdly done. It's like a very, very specific style of art, right? So, So it's a very specific style of art. Yeah, it's a naked guy who's frozen, but there's not like a big old donger sitting there or something, you know?
No, I have to say, I do look at that more on the artistic level. That really is, and I personally think offensive or anything.
So you have that, right? And then so they denied that one.
Mm-hmm.
I will say there's like a little bump where it looks like a little coin purse should be, more or less. But that's about it.
Oh, like, there's definitely a ween.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a ween or some beers.
It's,
like, I don't
it's
know.
Funny because it's like itty bitty showing how he's a little chilly.
He's frozen. Suspend belief for just a minute and just have fun with some branding. But so they're suing North Carolina because literally out of the 24 state distribution area, it's the one state that didn't actually approve it. So they're going through a lawsuit with them.
Like they could find some labels to just that they have approved in the past that, you know, they could run a little.
Absolutely.
You know, and be like, really?
So the one that they actually got approved, which I'm still kind of on the fence, like just personally, but maybe I'm just being a little weenie about it. They have one called Raging Bitch.
Oh my God.
Which is like a Belgian triple, and it's got like a picture of a very, very gnarly looking female dog with like blood in its mouth and like engorged nipples. It's weird. But
yeah, that's just weird, but
it's weird, but also crazy, too, crazy. Like it got denied.
I still think a guy fucking a pie or something is like a little crazier.
This is just pulling that out of our ass.
Yeah.
But
made up label.
Yeah, exactly. But I will say, like, they got away with that one. They won a lawsuit with it. And then even, too, one of the first ones I thought of, have you ever heard of, like, Blanche de Chambly, or no, Blanche de Brussels?
No.
It's a Belgian wit that comes from Belgium, obviously. But I forget what the name of the statue is, and somebody out there is probably yelling it at the speaker right now, and I apologize if you're that person. Chill the fuck out. but it's basically, it's a statue of a little boy, like, peeing.
Mm-hmm.
And like everyone knows that statue. You can probably picture it in your head even if you don't know the name. But that is their logo. So like how's, I mean, that's something. And then like what Coppertone used to have, like a little girl's butt showing and things like that. And they've recently changed it because of shit like this, which probably better for that one.
But yeah, that's definitely not something I'd, that's yeah.
Times
are
changing.
It does make sense.
This one right here, go check it out. I mean, you can find a bunch of different images on Google with it, but
yeah, that one's not bad. I don't think that's bad.
So they're suing the state of North Carolina. We'll see how that goes. They actually did fairly well, like I said, during the raging bitch scenario. I think that was back in like 2010, 2012. Hmm. So they'll probably do just fine with this, since North Carolina's being the only one.
As you started describing the dog, I definitely thought you were going to say a woman, like a disheveled woman. I definitely thought that's where you were going with it.
No. Like, not doing that.
Well, you just, you know, the way you didn't say dog or anything like that yet. So it was like,
a four-legged canine creature. Yeah. So yeah, that one's going on as far as legislation and stuff goes. What else you got?
I'm going to skip to keep on the same beat as, we'll call it legislation. Well, it's just more lawsuits. So, you know, we've talked about the Vasister lawsuit.
Yeah.
That was fucking dismissed fully by the U.S. District Court judge in Miami last week, which included the judge referring to the definition of a craft brewery as, quote unquote, a subjective term. By the way, her name is Judge Beth Bloom, if you want to call someone an asshole today.
All right. So thanks for all your help for the industry.
Yeah, thank you so fucking much, Beth Bloom. Like, God damn it.
Well, and it's just it's another one of those examples as far as how powerful lobbying is. Look, and it's going to sound very conspiracy, very soapboxy for a lot of you who are not in the state of Florida, but you have to understand a lot of these larger beer manufacturers have a very strong foothold in the tourism industry here with SeaWorld, Anheuser-Busch Gardens.
Yep.
They called it Busch Gardens. So they spend a lot of fucking money on things like trying to basically dial back things like this to stop tarnishing their
image.
And
I'm sure they've donated so much to the city of Miami, and I'm sure that
by the city of Miami, you mean the elected officials who literally go for $1,000 a pop, unless you're the senator who goes for $5,000 a pop, or if you're DeSantis who goes for $50,000 a pop, because we have all this on fucking record. Go have fun with that, boys and girls. Anyway, off my soapbox.
So, yeah, I definitely did not think it was going to go that direction. Did you?
I
thought it was going to be a settlement or something. I didn't think it was going to be a full dismissal. And I didn't think that they were going to go as far as, I guess, question and retaliate against the term craft brewery and that being a subjective fucking term.
Well, you know, Boston Beer has been basically trying to curtail that. And even then, too, like, that's just the brewery or brewing association or brewers associations. Term of what a craft brewery is how many barrels a year you produce, yada, yada, yada. And they've been constantly trying to push back on that. And I get it. I mean, like, they're still independently owned. They are what they are.
Mm-hmm.
But also at the same time, too, like, when it comes to legality, I mean, it's technically not wrong. Craft beer is this term, this idea, this romantic moniker that we've placed on independent brewery. And that's why I've always been, like, a proponent of just, like, hey, it's an independent brewery. It's not a craft brewery. Craft brewery sounds so 1990s to me for some reason.
And but that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. So. Or like when people are like, have you had this craft beer? It's an apple cider. And you're like, all right, guys, you guys are really missing the mark as far as what this marketing thing is supposed to do.
But, yeah. But I do think that needs, this in particular, I think needs to shine some light on how much gray area, I guess, there is. Because stuff like this could happen in every single city. There could be a conglomerate comes in to every bumfuck town and anywhere and calls himself a craft brewery. And the average person has no idea that they're not. Like, they conned a whole city, you know?
It is 100% happening. Because, like, even if you go into Publix right now, everything that's buy one, get one is Kona, which people think is a craft brewery from Hawaii. It is owned by CBA, which is owned by InBev. Everyone wants Goose Island 312, which is BOGO, because they have the fucking money to do that. And they think it's a craft brewery out of Chicago, Illinois, which is owned by InBev. So, they've been doing this for a while. It's just a matter of how they've honestly, it's very smart. I mean, Blue Moon's the same way. Like, Blue Moon got started by, like, Miller Coors, just like 10th and Blank or something like that, which is basically just a subsidiary company of it. And yeah, technically it's not specifically them, but it's them just with a different LLC under
just
it.
Different face, different mask.
Anyway.
I know. So speaking of Blue Moon, Hazy IPA called Moon Haze, Hazy Juicy Pale Ale, if that's not redundant enough. And
somebody's definitely not late to the party.
And I'll probably fuck with it, though.
I'll try
if it's like at the theme park or something, I would definitely.
I mean, let's be honest, there's not a lot of great Well, actually, let me take that back.
Well, Universal's.
Universal's is dope. Well. SeaWorld does pretty well.
SeaWorld is really trying. They're Busch trying Gardens is hard. Trying. Yeah. Big push.
But Universal, fucking kudos to you, man. Because even like during Halloween Horror Nights, they specifically theme the beers around things. So they'll have like Hopsecution from Terrapin. They have like Rogue Dead Guy over there. They're flying through it right now.
That's awesome.
And it's cool because like they don't have to do that. It's just a fun little spin on it. So like when you go in there as somebody from the industry, you're expecting to have to like pound down a White Claw or some shit.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're like, oh, fuck, like a $9 Hopsecution or Tallboy. Bring it on over.
Deal.
Yep. Sounds ridiculous, but also so is an $8 Yuengling Tallboy.
It
so,
is. Yeah. And that's what I did like a whole Instagram post on it because I feel like that was useful information that you can go to Universal and for I think that it, legitimately for $7 you can get a Heineken or for $8 you can get the Sam Adams Hazy, which is 8% versus 5%.
Also, pro tip, you have to go to the right spot to get it.
Mm-hmm.
So that one's at the Alcatraz Bar, which is over by the Big Hanging Shark, over by where Earthquake used
to be. And they also have like a triple over there at the same place that's like 12%.
Yeah. Go get weird, boys and girls.
It's a black can. I don't know what it is. Haven't had it. Don't have the balls. But if you do.
I mean, I'm hitting up Halloween Horror Nights at some point this year. Oh, so you have I'm going to get fucking weird.
You absolutely have to. Yeah, it's right there. Black hand. Can't tell you anything else about it, but just read it. And it says it's fucking 12%.
We should have made a batch of ghost one for that. Yeah. Oh, well.
Anyway, so.
Maybe next year. We'll forget about it until we listen to this next year. And be like, God damn it. We were onto something.
You think we're going to listen to these next year?
No.
That's funny.
Speaking of Sam Adams, they just launched Long Drink. Have you ever heard of Long Drink?
No.
This is the weirdest shit in the world to me. I feel like it's very, very, like, serendipitous because we have a family member who's from, I'm terribly sorry if she's listening, Finland or Sweden. I think it's Finland. But it's a, Long Drink is a traditional Finnish cocktail. This is from PRNewsWire.com, by the way. Long Drink is a traditional Finnish cocktail that traditionally consists of gin, grapefruit soda, and tonic. And I remember, like, she was freaking out about it. She's like, you guys don't have that here. It's insane to me. And I was like, you sound insane because I've never heard of this.
Yeah.
Cultural differences, am I right? But, no. So,
and that's a basic concoction. It's just never heard of that like that. Like
gin and juice, essentially. Sam Adams is launching a long drink called Bevy. So they'll have the sparkling citrus flavor as well as a sparkling berry refresher. It's not necessarily gin. They're using more of like the seltzer base, but also flavoring it with like juniper and some of the other flavor profiles and that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I'd fuck with that.
That sounds good.
That sounds awesome. And it's just so crazy because like with something coming up, I think you've got something to, like on the same thing with Sam Adams, which we should probably just start calling this podcast Sam Adams Does Something. it's amazing how much they're trying to diversify all of their stuff right now. So Bevy's coming out. What else is going on? I know you've got shit. What's up?
That's funny. Because kind of on that same note, Natty Light, launching. No, it was the vomit.
I just wanted to really make
flavor-forward vodka line.
Flavor-forward vodka line?
That's what they're calling
it. So we're getting like Pinnacle with soda water and a can with Natty on it?
It's like bottles that look like Pinnacle, but it's Natty Light vodka. Like it's vodka in a bottle. And I never noticed they had a lemonade called Natty Daddy.
Oh, yeah.
And I genuinely am putting that on a fucking t-shirt, like just Natty Daddy.
They actually, I hate saying this, but like, you know, when the seltzer craze was popping off, they came out with like Natty Daddy, Natterdays.
Natterdays I've had. I never.
They also do like a strawberry seltzer or like something like that too.
Yeah.
And like there's actually, in the grand scheme of things, is not terrible.
They don't suck. They don't. I will never, ever, ever try this fucking vodka, but all of the weird derivatives of Natty, I definitely have to try at least once.
Yeah, like if you're a teen throwing a party, this is basically what you're going for.
It genuinely is. This is going to be the Smirnoff, or like, no. What did we get?
Smirnoff Ice, Mike's Hard Lemonade.
We got Burnett's when we were super poor in college.
Oh, Mad Dog 2020 is where I went, man. That shit was awful.
$9 for like
Mad Dog 2020 was like
mine was nine
was yeah. it no. oh my god yeah this was like maybe $3 for like a pint of it, and it was like 20% and it tasted like batteries rubbed on a frog. It was awful. But yeah, so there's that.
So just throwing this one at you because I just want to know, just out of curiosity, which one you'd fuck with the most.
Right.
So Truly's coming out with new flavors for the holidays, including pomegranate, ginger fizz.
Oh, fancy.
Sounds kind of good. Okay. Cran orange. Another.
I'm not a big cran orange combination guy. But that's just a personal thing.
I like them. Spiked apple spice.
Yeah, I'd fuck with that.
Bitch. And holiday sangria style, which, yeah, I'd fuck that one up. I just hope they're not so acidic like their lemonade series.
Yeah. You that know? One, like, those were kinda, your teeth off.
Those were hard to drink, but their taste was so good.
Well, Bud Light's doing a whole lineup, too, with, like, pumpkin pie and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And I looked at all those, and the only reason why I even brought these up, because this is an actual, you know, assorted box that I would genuinely buy, just because, like, 3 out of 4 sound really good. The other one, none of those sound appealing to me.
Well, I'm really glad you said that, because Boston Beer needs your help. With a new article from CNBC, Boston Beer falls nearly 10% as weak seltzer demand causes them to basically start reformatting how they're going to be paying out their shareholders.
Which is so interesting because is the craze going down or did they just fuck up the... That's for them? They just didn't do it well enough?
If you look at it, they basically were the alternative to White Claw. It was like Pepsi and Coke for a very long time. You were either White Claw or you were Truly. Now, everyone and their fucking mom has one. So, like, of course people are, like, their sales are, like, their piece of the pie, what they were depending on, is still going to fall back a lot. I mean, that's not to say that it's falling as a category. You can definitely still make money. Because even if you're a smaller company coming out with something a little bit more niche, a little bit more targeted to not the generalized
different flavors, different everything.
Absolutely. You'll be fine with that. But, like, it'd be like the same thing as if Pepsi and Coke were the only sodas forever. And then all of a sudden, 30 other big ones came in and started taking up your shelf space.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're going to take a huge hit. So Boston Beer, this is again from CNBC.com. At the end of July, the company pointed to decelerating growth trends in hard seltzer sales to justify its weaker than expected quarterly earnings and revenue for the second quarter, which sent its stock tumbling 26% at the time. Those results also led the company to cut its full year forecast, lowering its expected adjusted earnings to between 18 per share to 22 per share for 2021. And this was from the 22 to 26 per share they were projecting by the end of the year. So this is also on the tailwind of the fact that, like, it looks like, I will say, they've always been good at diversifying their portfolio. So maybe they're starting to realize that they're getting outcompeted with the numbers they were expecting. Yeah. But now they're also starting to really throw that same technology, that same information, and that same kind of procedure towards things like the Mountain Dew, towards things like the Bevy, those kind of aspects where it's different and that's how they're going to stand out.
Yep.
So
the brand recognition's there with the Mountain Dew bullshit. So. Yeah. That'll be a big thing for them. I don't think longevity on it is very high, but I think that'll be a good enough push for them to then buy some time and figure it out.
We'll see. Yeah. I don't know.
Figure it out.
Yeah, figure it out. That's what I always say, figure it out.
Figure it.
But yeah, so that is this week in Sam Adams, What Are They Doing? actually, totally different story real quick.
That's so funny.
Totally different story. I'm kind of excited about this because it hits us here at home.
Okay.
If you're not familiar, if you are listening out there, we are based out of Orlando. So the New York Beer Project, have you heard of them?
No.
So a very, very big brewing kind of like company up in New York, obviously. They're breaking ground on an Orlando location.
Nice.
Yeah. So the new location will feature a gastropub, an indoor beer garden, tap room, brewery, sidewalk bistro, as well as 3 New York City themed event spaces. And this is all coming from WGRZ.com.
Man.
We're
going to start getting a little saturated with the beer garden event space thing soon, I think. Because there's 3.
Within a stone's throw from here.
3 that aren't even open and are still in concept that are just coming out and shit. And that one I didn't even know about. So.
And this is a big one, too.
I'm not mad about it by any means, but it's going to be like, you know, I mean, just prepare for everything to go up, you know, more tourism for beer stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It'll be good.
It's good.
It'll
be good.
It is good. It's definitely not bad.
As with any industry, this is going to be another one of those time frames where, like, you as a business need to learn to either pivot or you're going to die.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, you're not going to die, but you're not going to have the same
success. Think of all those old school breweries, tasting rooms that haven't changed their menu in years, that only brew like ultra, ultra traditional and small and have an updated decor, don't have any games, like stuff like that. Like, you just have to understand, like, you might get phased out. Your regulars who love you, they want nothing but the best for you. They're going to go take their families to a fun spot. You know, it's a couple minutes away. I just don't think that they're going to have the same customer, I don't know, loyalty. Well, when more thing, fun things open.
On that accord, too, it's a good insight because you can almost look at, you know, if you are one of those breweries, very old school, you've been around for decades, you make the same blonde, red, whatever. Mm-hmm. Look at what your motivators are doing as well. Who inspired you to start those breweries? Mm-hmm. Who were big at the time? You got things like Stone, Dogfish Head, Victory. You've got, like, you know, obviously Goose Island, those mm-hmm. kind of things where, like, look at what they're doing. They're pivoting.
Yep.
Like, and you can almost watch all of them over the last 10 years find their footsteps. Yeah. Even Sierra Nevada is starting to, like, cut a lot of core brands that did very well for them, and we're not seeing those in the market anymore. But that's because, like, you can't force things to happen. You have to adapt. Mm-hmm. So, you know, look at where they are, what they're doing, and then look at your own game and go, all right, how are we going to also compete with this?
Or are you just so content that you're willing to push aside all of that and just sizzle out, you know? I mean, this is your retirement. This is your livelihood and stuff, you know? It's like, you got to do just one thing to keep people coming back in.
Yeah, so, I mean, me personally, so they broke down in Winter Garden. So it's going to be over in that area.
Man, I think there is one of the other new ones is going up over there too, right?
It's becoming a popular spot to be able to throw one in for sure.
Because there's a lot of land. It's very pretty undeveloped over there still, right? You just really have Crooked Can and
Crooked Can. There's another one we know of going over there, no, I think if anything, it's going to help everyone. Because
we'll
shout
them out. Home State. Go ahead, follow Home State.
Follow Home State, man. Those people are dope.
They're opening up.
Yep. but yeah, so they're actually super stoked. They even said it was Kelly Krupski. I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing that incorrectly.
I think it's just the influx in voice.
Krupski? Question mark. In our hometown of Lockport, New York, there was a large community of people, but not in that many places to gather, eat, drink, and have fun. We built an original location for our community. And that's what we plan to do in Horizon West. We are fully aware of the tourist element as we love to visit Orlando and its world-class attractions. However, we want to build long-lasting relationships with the families and residents who live here. So there's that.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think it'll be cool. I think it's going to help everyone out. I'm excited because, like, me personally, I'm always super stoked to see how a brand who's grown their roots somewhere else transitions to an entirely new market.
Mm-hmm.
And then, are they making the same thing? Are they changing their profile a little bit? Are they, like, I'll be very interested to see kind of what happens. So,
and where did they work before? That's always interesting. I always love knowing where, you know, what was your first, you know, was it the standard Red Cypress or Cigar City? Where'd you start?
There's so there's that. And then, like, also, you know, with, you know, every time you go to a new town, like, their hazies are a little bit different. Their sours are a little bit different. Thank God lagers are pretty much the same everywhere. I'm sorry if you're out there. No one's reinventing it. Just do a good one. You're solid.
Seriously. But not wrong.
I'll be very curious to see kind of their touch, their technique on that. So
that's exciting.
Yeah.
I'll keep tabs on that.
That is my last story, but I do have a fun little, like, kind of close-up thing that we can do.
Yep.
If you want.
Do it.
All right. So the U.S. Beer Open announced its winners on Monday. So congratulations to all the breweries that were able to medal, especially a lot of the Florida ones. We are biased. Sorry about you. but they do have a fun little category, and it's the year's top 10 favorite beer names. Shall we?
Oh, fuck yeah.
You want to go 10 to 1?
Yeah.
All right. Number 10, you're killing me, s'mores. Brewfinity Brewing, Wisconsin. We have, I guess a tie for number 10, the Tipsy Goat Bock.
Nah.
We have number 9, the Aromatic Dippa. Arrow Lodge Brewing? Come on. Really? I don't know. Probably why it's number 9.
You just sounded like Kevin so much when you just did that. You went, nah, and he did the hand thing.
I've been around him too much. God damn it. So I'm becoming him. Oh, I can't wait. He lives such a good life. I hope I do.
That was good.
Number 8, I Don't Give a Schnitzel, Oktoberfest. that was out of Debine Brewing in Florida.
Nice.
Number 7, the Fog Eat Fog World.
Cute.
Hazy Dippa. That was fun.
Is that Humble?
That one is Slice Beer Company in California. We have number six, the Double Rogue Daria. Or Rog Daria. Double Rog Daria? Double Rog Daria.
Oh, no, yeah. I get it.
Gazelic Brewing, Iowa. We have number five, Straight Kick to the Scotch Ale. Urban Brew Labs in Illinois. Four is Flavus Maximus, Soulfire Brewing in Texas. Number three, Breaking Bud IPA. Knee Deep Brewing, California. Number two, Purple Floors and Dinosaurs. Double Branch Brewing, Florida. I do
Why
like
that. Why is
that
funny? Yeah. It just, I like it's good alliteration. I do like
it just
that.
Kind of rolls off the tongue.
Another Florida one, you said?
Yeah.
Nice.
Menace to Sobriety, Hank Hudson Brewing, New York. And that was number one. I got the top 10 open beer championships, all out breweries, if you want to go through those real quick, too.
Yeah.
Number 10, Wellington Brewery, Ontario. Number nine, Spearfish Brewing, South Dakota. Number eight, Main and Six Brew Company, Florida. We'll definitely have to pop open one of those bottles they sent over for us soon,
That's
too.
That's so cool.
Yeah, congratulations, you guys. They fucking...
Yeah, they win every year, though. They cleaned I'm still it with metal, excited. But like, oh, my gosh.
And actually, I will say another shout-out to Motorworks. They
have, like, five,
yeah,
right? Five or six?
We have number seven, Big Sexy Brewing, California. Number six, Amsterdam Brewing in Ontario. Number five, Rubens Brew Tap Room, Washington. Number four, Barnaby Brewing, Alaska. Number three, Narrow Path Brewing, Ohio. Number two, Monday Night Garage in Georgia. Also super cool. Mm-hmm. Love those guys. And then number one, Deschutes Brewery out of Oregon originally. I think they have a Virginia location now,
that sounds
too.
And then
they're actually going to be, a little bird told me, they're going to be launching down this way soon, which I'm
was a posting for it.
Yep.
You're right. Yep.
So that You're should right. be pretty cool. Did I ever tell you my Deschutes beer story? Mm-mm. I'll finish on this. So I was born in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
As I've talked about before, I lived in Alaska for a small amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
When I lived up there, one of the first things I did is I went to the local pizza shop. It's in a small town of like 700 people. Very, very, very unique vibe there. Mountain High Pizza Pie, if you ever go up there, it's fucking dope. And they have the Black Butte Porter on. I did not know what a butte was. So I asked for the Black Butt Porter. And the lady looked at me, was fucking over her day, and conveyed that with a look of, what are you fucking stupid?
Fucking stupid?
She didn't say it, but her eyes did. And very quickly, I was like, the porter? She's like, you mean Black Butte Porter? I was like, that's exactly what I meant. I am so sorry. I'll take this out of the table. I'll go. I'm so sorry. That was fun.
That's awesome. Yeah. How did she? She must have been having a fucking day to not even laugh. Or, I mean, more, how funny is that after how many people probably have said that?
That's the biggest thing. It's probably,
she probably wasn't even like.
It's probably a bunch of just random guys being like, oh, it's Black Butt Porter.
Exactly.
And then me, I'm not trying to be funny.
No,
I'm just
but
stupid.
She was so desensitized by it. Yeah. She just like, get the fuck.
I was just being a dumb dumb. That's all. I wasn't doing it on purpose. Whoever you, if you're listening to this, I'm so sorry. I'm so, so sorry.
Yes, random bartender in Alaska.
Yeah, you get it. All right, well, that's all I got. Anything else from you?
No. I think we may have covered all the new shit.
Awesome. Well, if you are still listening, thank you so much for listening to probably one of the longest episodes of What Is Sam Adams Doing This Week. as always, please feel free to go on Apple and leave some reviews, hopefully some 5 stars, but even if not, you know who you are out there. We appreciate your opinion and you are entitled to it. And
yes,
cool, whatever, man. Keep doing you. You sound like a blast at parties. But you can also find us on Spotify. You can find us on a bunch of other ones that I should know off the top of my head.
Apple Pod, Google.
Yeah, Google Pods.
And Spotify.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much
right. All of them. Yeah. All the main.
We'll try to get on iHeartRadio or something soon. I don't know. I'll look it
up. Yeah, I think it's a little trickier, but doable. So we should do that.
Cool. We'll figure that out.
Well, thank you guys again. And we will holler at you later.
Dead. 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 Dead.